The farmstead of Grímstunga stands between the Álka and Vatnsdalsá rivers. This was formerly a church site with a resident pastor. Grímstunga is well known in history. It was the home of Óttar Þorvaldsson, the father of Hallfreður the Troublesome poet, who has his own saga, and of Valgerður, sweetheart of Ingólfur Þorsteinsson of Hof, a grandson of Ingimundur the Aged. In the 19th century, Björn Eysteinsson, famed as a mountaineer, lived at Grímstunga. Difficult times in agriculture meant that he and his wife Helga Sigurgeirsdóttir had to move to an upland croft, Réttarhóll, where they lived from 1886 to 1892. Meanwhile, their son Lárus took over the farm at Grímstunga along with his wife Péturína Björg Jóhannsdóttir. Lárus was a good chanter of rhymes, as were his sons Grímur and Ragnar, and they often chanted together in traditional quintsong harmony. In 1954, the Vatnsdalsá River was bridged below Grímstunga. The road follows the valley on the eastern side to the farmstead of Forsæludalur, Shady Valley. On the west bank of the Vatnsdalsá River, just about opposite the farm of Sunnuhlíð, are traces of the farmstead of Þórhallastaðir. In the time of the sagas, this was the home of a certain Þórhallur. It was during his time here that the region was terrorized by one of Iceland's scariest ghosts, Glámur. It seemed likely that Glámur would drive out all the inhabitants of the valley until saga hero Grettir came along and offered to get rid of him. The tale is told in the saga of Grettir.
About one-third of the way through the night, Grettir heard a great din outside. Something climbed up onto the farmhouse and sat astride the roof of the hall, kicking against it with its heels, so that every piece of timber in the house creaked. This went on for a long time. Then it climbed down from the roof and went to the door. When the door opened, Grettir watched the wretch stick its head inside. It looked hideously big with grotesque features. Glámur moved slowly and stood up straight once he was through the door. He towered up to the rafters, turned to the hall, rested his arm on the crossbeam, and glowered inside. The farmer didn't make a sound, for he'd already had quite enough just hearing what went on outside. Grettir lay there, completely still. When Glámur noticed something lying in a heap on the seat, he moved along inside the hall and gave the cloak a sharp tug. Grettir braced his feet against the bedframe and didn't yield. Glámur yanked at it again much harder, yet the cloak still would not budge. The third time he tugged so hard with both hands that he sat Grettir up on the bench and they ripped the cloak in two between them. Glámur looked at the strip he was left holding, astonished that someone could tug so hard against him. At that moment, Grettir ducked under Glámur's arms and clutched him around the waist, squeezing against his backbone with all his might in the hope of toppling him. But the wretch grabbed Grettir's arms so tightly that he was forced to yield his grip. Grettir backed away into one seat after another. All the benches were torn loose and everything in their way was smashed. Glámur tried to make it to the door while Grettir struggled for a foothold. Eventually, Glámur managed to drag him out of the hall. A mighty fight ensued because the wretch intended to take him outside the farmhouse. But difficult as Glámur was to deal with indoors, Grettir saw that he would be even harder to handle outdoors, so he struggled with all his might to keep from going out. Glámur's strength redoubled and he clutched Grettir towards him when they reached the entrance hall. When Grettir realized that he could not hold him back in a single move, he suddenly thrust himself as hard as he could into the wretch's arms and pressed both feet against a rock that was buried in the ground at the doorway. The wretch was caught unawares, and as he had been straining to pull Grettir towards him, Glámur tumbled over backwards and crashed through the door. His shoulders took the doorframe with him, and the rafters were torn apart, the wooden roofing and the frozen turf on it, and Glámur fell out of the house onto his back, face upwards, with Grettir on top of him. The sun was shining strongly, but thick patches of cloud covered and uncovered it in turns. Just as Glámur fell, the clouds drifted away from the moon and Glámur glared up at it. Grettir himself has said that this was the only sight that ever unnerved him. Suddenly, Grettir's strength deserted him from exhaustion, but also because of the fierce way Glámur was rolling his eyes. Unable to draw his sword, he lay there on the brink of death. Glauma was endowed with more evil force than most other ghosts as he spoke these words. "You have gone to great lengths to confront me, Grettir," he said, "and it won't seem surprising if you don't earn much good fortune from me. I can tell you that you've obtained half the strength and manliness allotted to you had you not encountered me. I can't take away from you the strength you have already achieved, but I can ordain that you will never become any stronger than you are now, strong enough as you may be, as many people will find out to their cost. You have become renowned up until now for your deeds, but henceforth, outlawry and killings will fall to your lot, and most of your deeds will bring you misfortune and adversity. You will be made an outlaw and be forced to live alone and outdoors. And this curse I lay on you. My eyes will always be before your sight, and this will make it difficult for you to be alone. And this will lead to your death." As the wretch finished saying this, the helplessness that had come upon Grettir wore off. He drew his short sword, chopped off Glauma's head, and placed it against the buttocks. Then the farmer came outside, having dressed while Glauma delivered his speech. He had not dared to approach until Glauma had been felled. Thorhadle praised God and thanked Grettir kindly for having overcome this evil spirit. They set to and burned Glauma to ashes, then buried them as far as possible from grazing lands or paths. After that, they went back home. It was close to dawn by then.
At Land's Endi, along the Vatnsdalsárgil Gorge, opposite the confluence with the Friðmundará River, is a grassy hillock known as Glámsþúfa, or Glámur's Tussock, said to be the place where Glámur's ashes are buried. A marked walking route leads up the Forsæludalur Valley by the Vatnsdalsá River. Above the spectacular gorge are a series of beautiful waterfalls and heathlands. The route starts by the farmhouse at Forsæludalur and leads about 7 kilometers up to the heathlands via waterfalls Dalsfoss, Valley Falls, Skessufoss, Trollvæ Falls, Kerafoss, Hollow Falls, Bergbúi, Rockdweller, Landsendafoss, Landsend Falls, Rjúkandi, Smoky, and finally Skínandi, Shiny.